Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in Washington. Tonight, cohabitation.
You know, it's a different age, and the economy is really bad. So why not save that money and use that money to pay dowry? See, like, it's a win-win.
Well, cohabitation is an arrangement where two people who are not married live together without formally registering their relation as a marriage. And this is according to Wikipedia.com. But is this arrangement toxic, or is this the best way for couples to know each other before they get married? So tonight, as usual, Let's Talk. We'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show, all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota, our friend Emma Kasiga. Welcome back, Emma.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you for having me.
Okay, and also my colleagues in the house, Karina Chowdhury. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And of course, for the first time, Dan Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. In this edition, we'll be discussing cohabitation. Well, according to the website foryourmarriage.com, they say it's no secret that many couples are cohabiting, and that is currently at 60% of all marriages are preceded by cohabitation. But they say fewer than half of cohabiting unions end in marriage. Fewer than that amount. All right? So I want to find out, is this a problem? And if that is the case, so couples shouldn't do it? Well, I spoke to Doris Wawiru, and I wanted to know her take.
I think it's a good thing to do when you've not dated somebody for a long time. So, for example, if you've known a guy for a few months and you guys are old enough to live alone, I think you can live together. It saves rent.
Economic-wise, huh? So you're talking about the economy here. That's what you're looking for. Nothing else, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, because when you get married, you have to live with this person for, you know, a very long time.
Right.
So why not, you know, see what it is like to live with a person before you actually get to marry them?
But at the same time, Doris, I have some people saying that if this is a good thing, why so many couples who have lived together before, when they get married, the marriage breaks down? I've read some statistics from a website, foryourmarriage.com.
Okay, that's interesting. Anyway, I think that like living together before marriage does not affect your life after marriage. So even if they divorce, it just means, you know, the two of them are not compatible. So even if they didn't live together before getting married, they would still end up, you know, being divorced, despite not living together before.
So it doesn't matter to you, you think?
So, yeah, I don't think it matters to me, but I am saying I cannot do that because my family would kill me.
You know, That's another good question I want to ask you. What about African families? Do they allow?
Yes.
Like, your parents will allow that to happen?
No. I think my dad will come here and kill me. You know, knowing that. But,
right,
you know, it's a different age, and the economy is really bad.
Uh-huh.
So why not save that money and use that money to pay dowry? See, like, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win, huh? Yeah, because at the same time, I mean, the times have changed. I know with our parents' time, there's no way you could do that. But, I mean, with this time, with the economy, as you say, with all this going on, sometimes it's economical. So, I don't know. You tell me. But some African families don't like to see that happening because they don't feel like you're respected to do that. But in reality, people just don't tell their parents, but they do it, isn't it?
That is so true. But when you have relatives who know what you're doing, then you're in real trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So personally, I can do it. But what I'm saying is I understand those people who do it.
Mm, you know? I Exactly. Yeah. So you understand where they're coming from.
I understand it, yeah, but I cannot do it.
Oh, and you can't? I thought you, since you understand, you'd do it yourself.
No, I cannot.
Doris, tell us the truth.
No, and I said earlier, my dad would come and kill me.
But you, when you do it, you don't want your dad to know. You never tell him anyway. Whoever does, they don't tell their parents.
Yeah, I don't think I can escape with that because I have my brother here. And I'm sure he would somehow, you know, end up knowing. He would not be pretty.
But why do you think your brother, men and boys, wouldn't like that to happen? But don't you see it's a double standard because some men do it and nobody says anything?
Definitely. You know, it's African society. Like, it's all about double standards, you know. You treat other women wrong, but you expect your sister to be treated right. How does that even work? I think it's just, you know, men, their ego, and, you know, they also have this protection thing with their sisters or their daughters.
Thank you, Doris Waweru. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing cohabitation. Now, back to the studio. Dan Brown, I know you're ready, but you say that you want to allow it for ladies? Is that what it is?
Yeah, ladies have to go first.
Okay, let's do it. Emma, to you, my friend, do you think it's a good thing to do, to have such a system, or is not?
Let me preface it by the fact that I am an African. And as African women, we are raised to wait until we get married and get married. You know, technically, you cannot even date in Africa without being looked upon as if you're like a not okay.
Really?
And then you expect to just jump from, okay, I'm this Miss Goody Two Shoes to, I'm getting married. I don't know, how do you get married to somebody you don't even know? And nowadays, there are no arranged marriages. And so, coming from that perspective, cohabitation as an African woman would probably not necessarily be great. It would probably be looked upon as a problem. But having been in the U.S. of A. for many years, I've learned to understand why people cohabit, and I've learned to appreciate the whole art of cohabitation. And I really like to put it this way. If your better half pees on the bed still, at least you get to know and you get to decide that this is the worst part that you're going to leave for the rest of your life with. So that's kind of like my summary of it. And I think I dig it.
Okay. Well, Emma came to a perspective of an African woman. African woman, African parents, they want to see you stay at home and wait until the Mr. Right comes home. Then you leave at home with Mr. Right to get married. You don't leave with anybody else, especially men, when you're not married. That's what Emma says. And I believe, because I understand how we do in Africa. But anyway, Karina Chowdhury, bring me your expertise here. You're from Asia. How about Asian women?
I'm on the same page with Emma. I'm from Bangladesh. I grew up there, and we have the same mentality. And it's cohabitation in Bangladesh is not common. So our parents or the previous generation definitely does not accept it the same way. But growing up in America, my point of view about cohabitation is I think it's good for a relationship. It's a good way to get to know your partner. It's a good way to basically have a marriage, but before getting into before actually being married and having that, like legally being binded together. But this way you get to be with each other. You get to understand each other. So I think cohabitation is a great thing, but, it's definitely not accepted in my culture. And if anybody does do it, it's kind of a secret because parents don't accept it. But people do it. So that's the reality of it.
They just do it behind their parents' back.
They just do it behind their parents' back. And, you know, you run into a lot of issues, but it's important. And personally, I think it's a good way to get to know each other. So
okay.
I'm all for it.
You're all for it, really?
I'm all for it.
Oh, okay. Hey, let's listen to Danny Brown. What do you think about cohabitation, my friend? I mean, it's not like so many African women won't do it, you know? I mean, right. For you it's different.
You know,
you're an American born and raised, and maybe for you it's a different perspective altogether. What do you think about cohabitation?
I think it's tough, especially if you think of it as a guy mindset. Now, I can break it down to a lot of levels, but I'll stick to like the very basics right now and then get a little bit into it.
Okay.
Using your life for, saving your life for one person, and you're not doing anything with them for that one, for like the longest time, is going to make that one guy very upset.
Now, do you think if you are living with your girlfriend, okay, is this something that will help you towards your marriage? Or you think this will end up, like, these experts are saying that most of these unions don't end up in marriage in the first place because they've lived for so long. And hey, why get married?
Yeah, why get married? I mean, because you look at
it. It happens in America a lot.
I mean, because...
Well, I personally, I don't think marriage is necessary.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're committed to someone, then you're committed to someone. Marriage, in my opinion, doesn't change commitment. So
very true.
Yeah.
Because there's people all around the world right now, and I'm not putting you guys into a certain box, but a ring is a ring. It's just an object. It's not saying how faithful you are. You saying all those vows and jumping the broom or all that other stuff doesn't really mean anything. Doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean?
So it doesn't matter. And I think this is the case where you guys are talking, I think, is whereby couples now decide, you know what? We better just live together. Don't talk about marriage. And it will last forever. And once that day they decide we are getting married, all of a sudden, after so many years down the line, this marriage is ending. So I'm asking, what happened all these days you lived together, no problems, after getting married, things are falling apart. And this is why these experts are giving us this percentage, 60% marriages are breaking down just because they preceded by cohabitation. And maybe we'll come to your point, Karina, that you may expert help us here, that most of the Asian families nowadays decide to go for arranged marriages. Although some people don't do it, but some Asian families still do that. Because they think this is worth helping. So anyway, hold it right there. We'll be right back.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At VOA News.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in a Washington studio with my colleagues, Karina Chowdhury and Dan Brown, and also Emma Kasiga. Right now, we're discussing cohabitation. But also, many couples believe that cohabitation will lower the risk of divorce. This is my point I was just asking you, Karina, prior. But I just want to know, is this a misconception? And so I spoke to Kennedy Wandera in Nairobi, Kenya, and I wanted to know, is it helping or hurting the marriage institution?
At some point, it doesn't. But at other point, it also plays a key role, especially it doesn't, because sometimes it creates an environment where you feel like you are used to the person who is just close to you. So, and it creates a very bad impression, the inner feelings towards that particular person. Sometimes it appears as if you can't easily contend with each other unless there comes a time when you discuss some issues that either two of you doesn't support or each one of you can easily understand. But the problem is you get used to each other, and I think most of the African families, especially Christian families, don't support it.
So why do you think they don't support it? Why their children want to do it?
Yeah, there are always institutions, marriage institutions in the community, and there is always that reason as to why people must always be able to find ways through which maybe certain traditions are being followed in church, especially cohabitation. And as you gear towards marriage, cohabitation, it's in the context of a church or Christian family, it discourages, because sometimes you can't avoid each other, and when it reaches at a point like that where you are cohabiting, it becomes extremely difficult for two of you to separate from each other, because you get used to each other. and you might be lured into doing things that you people are not entitled to appreciate at that particular time.
So if that is the case, why don't you just say it? Why don't these couples just be open to their parents and say, hey, we can't avoid each other. We're here together anyway. We're going to get married in the first place. So what's the problem? Why don't they have that gut to talk to their parents when it comes to that?
I think African parents sometimes lay down some rules that are very important, especially in guiding their sons and daughters, especially when it comes to habits, because they don't want them to mess up. And once they mess up, sometimes it becomes difficult for them to take back their position in the society. And that's why, as good morals, is always encouraged that they should be able to live separately so that they maybe follow the traditions of a Christian family towards the marriage. Yeah.
Thank you, Kennedy Wandera from Nairobi, Kenya. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing cohabitation. Back to the studio. Emma Kasiga, you may jump into this if you want to, but I want to ask you specifically, why these people end up not getting married after so long of living together, as what this website says? And also, is this because what Karina was saying? It's about what you believe, or what Dan Brown was talking about? Or what is this? Or are we missing a point here?
Well, in my personal opinion, sometimes wedding, quote-unquote, is overrated. And the whole life after marriage seems to have been put in a certain box that people have to adhere. And most of the time, people do not live in the same stress or same feeling before marriage. Or maybe people have different expectations. People on the panel, Karina and Dan, have said very well. If you are somebody who is going to commit, you're going to commit regardless. And if you are somebody who believe in the whole institution of marriage, you will believe and you will live happily ever after, regardless. Or at least you will respect that and do that. But if you are not that type of person, you succumb to pressures of the society, of the people, or you are a better half or whatever it is, and you went into that. That's where all these divorces and all these things are coming through. And I'm thinking, if you've already stayed for 10 years without committing, or for a really long time without committing, there was a reason you did not commit. So do a soul search and be truthful before you go and commit. Because I'm thinking, the reason for divorce for these people that have cohabited for a long time is because they really were not meant to be together, or somebody was really having a cold shoulder and they did not have the guts to say so, and they just go pushed into it. And once they, you know, get into the marriage, the stress just becomes overbearing and they just crush and burn.
Okay, good point, Emma. And I wanted to add on that same thing here. You find out, and I've seen this in my experience, of course, as a man, when we sit down and talk with ladies and everybody's like, okay, if you like it, put a ring on it. Don't waste my time because I don't have no time, okay? And some ladies would be like, why you lived with such and such a lady for so many years and then you left her alone? You didn't even get married. Why you wasted her time? So thank you, Emma, for mentioning that. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So to you, Karina, why do you accept living with somebody and then when he leaves, you complain that he wasted your time? I mean, from some ladies do that. Why do they do that? And also tell me, why also the same way from ladies from Africa and Asia, we know that, you live with somebody and when your parents come, you play a movie. You tell him, you know what, you got to move out. Because my parents are coming, and then when the parents are gone, he's coming right back. Why?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
The easiest one, Sandy.
Okay, the easiest one.
Because we're living in a lie.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just easy to perpetuate the lie than to stay firm in what you believe and say, hey, mother, father, I'm done lying to you. I'm a grown-up now. And I can do whatever
you.
I want.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
okay, Karina, that's the you. First question you can answer for that, if you don't mind, about why you leave and then when your parents come, you have to change the whole subject for some ladies, why, of course, from Africa and Asia. Why do they have to do that?
Okay, so for me, what I would say is, so you don't want to hurt your parents. Mm-hmm. And why tell them something? I mean, I'm... maybe you should. You should be honest. You should tell them, definitely. Mm. But sometimes it's not possible because it comes with a lot of consequences.
Mm.
So, and if they're not regularly a part of your life, your everyday life, you know, for me, it's like, why burden them with the information? Because it's going to cause a lot of conflict. So, and being at my age, I feel like, you know, being 26, I feel like I just want to enjoy my life. I don't want that conflict right now.
Right.
So for me, that's the easier way to go. Hide it until I'm ready to...
Karina.
Yeah. Let me ask you. Hold on.
Emma's ready, but Emma, wait on one moment, Emma. Listen to Dan. One thing.
Do you think your parents would never ever find out?
Oh, no, they will find out.
Okay,
and I
they
think,
know. So
yeah, I think...
For most part, you really try to mask what is already known out there. And
yeah.
One thing that, you know, as a parent right now,
yeah.
I know for a fact my daughter or my son are not going to hide anything from me that I cannot tell. Like, you could tell it in their face, in the, you know.
Exactly.
And so parents know way more than they reveal. And sometimes it's so much easier to just say, hey, mom and dad, this is what it is. I know it hurts your feeling, but look at it from my point of view. And if your parents care and love you, yes, there'll be, you know, there'll be an element of disappointment there. But at least you know that by the end of the day, the truth is out and the truth sets you free.
Ooh.
And at least you're free to do whatever you
want. Emma is not that easy, though. You know that.
I definitely agree with you, Emma, and I would like to live life like that, but I know what kind of consequences come
exactly.
with it. And I guess for me, it's just I'm not ready to face that consequence.
So let me just butt in for a second. So you have two things, right? You have A or B.
Yeah.
You can do one, tell your parents that you're dating someone, or you can tell them, like when you're a kid, which one would do more effect, actually? One, telling your parents you have a boyfriend in high school, or telling your parents, I got kicked out of high school or kicked out of school. Which one would be more hurtful?
I think the kicked out of school, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just think of it as like a parent. It's like a Band-Aid you rip off, right? You rip it off, the wound is going to heal. It always will. I mean, my mom, I got kicked out of school. And when I came back, I did everything I needed to do. But back to the story, the main thing was I told her what I did wrong.
And I agree. I think it's definitely going to heal. And if it's something that I'm going to pursue, and if marriage is, you know, on the table and all of that, then definitely, you know, I will tell my parents. But I guess I think for most people, it's kind of an escape from that the conflict. And a lot of times, I know for the people I know, like my friends and stuff, I know that they don't come up, like, tell the parents because it's just. It's just going to make life harder. And ideally, we want to tell the parents, everybody, you know, wants to live free, like you were saying, Emma, but it just comes with just so many consequences that you're not ready to deal with, maybe, and that's what happens. And when you are finally ready to deal with it, then I think people really do talk about it.
And Karina, this has not come to me, like, overnight or just... had just not, you know, the revelation is, you know, it took a long time, a lot of soul search,
mm-hmm.
and I came to realize at some point that I'd really like to be truthful. And I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
circling back into the topic that we're talking about today, I think a lot of people are trying to live a life of lie, because if you're cohabiting with somebody, you've been together for, let's say, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you seriously can tell if this person is going to commit or not. And so this whole pressuring, because the society calls you names if you're not married, you know, I don't know about in your culture, but I know in my culture where
mm-hmm.
I come from, they were even singing and calling women names who are not married,
mm-hmm.
but not calling name on men who are not married. So women feel like they have to. And sometimes, you know, like, hey, this is the wrong person, and I should not make this choice, but you're still pushing for the wrong thing. And that's the reason why, by the end of the day, you're going to break up anyway. The biggest thing here is really to know where to stop being a child and to start being a grown-up. From how I was raised, I was taught I could blame it on my parents. Anything and everything that is going wrong in my life up until I turn 25. Past 25, I am an adult. I am responsible for my own action. I know what is wrong, what is right, and I need to stand my grounds and I need to do the right things. And so if my parents have raised me right, that means they've taught me to tell the right from wrong, and I think to tell lie is wrong, then I should also be able to stand to the same parents who taught me those values and say, my parents, this is where you're wrong. This is my right to choose, and I'm not going to lie to you, and this is what I am. And if they ostracize me or they choose not to speak to me, that's fine. It's a pain that I'll have to take and in turn be able to really articulate the values that I've chosen to embrace. And so I think as adults we have to choose. If we choose to perpetuate things that have been in the past, some lies and things like that, that's absolutely fine. I think we tend to make those choices the moment we get the freedom, like, let's say, to move in and live in with somebody else against our, you know, better judgment or against our parents' decision. Because we've made those choices as adults, we should also make the choices as adults, and we should be able to stand on the on those values and be firm.
Okay.
That's my closing remark.
Okay, Emma, thank you so much. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of Voice America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election right here on VOA.
Safari, safari, zambali Visana mambo mengi Vina teso na joa kila mpenzo sijali Na sumu ya mapenzi Vina tesa moyo mchana kusiku silali Sukari ya mapenzi Isha ganda mbo Ntaritunza moyo rina kesho peponi Teza mozuri wako Penzi langu sijini shusha thamani Thamani ya penzi lako Ntarilenda moyo rina kesho peponi Dunia na mapenzi Vina teso na joa sema mpenzi Tafadhali usiku silali Oh, yaleta Taufo tayari Ni upeleke nyumbani Japo sina pesa manyumba gari Usijali Nauliza uko tayari Ni upeleke nyumbani Japo sina pesa manyumba gari Usijali Ona Yupo nino penda Kwa utenzi na nyimbo na zezi Nile mimbea Akarati akarinda Na marata kupenda moyo Nika ukulia Yupo nino penda
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Thanks, and that's it for our show tonight. We will lightheartedly explore cohabitation. Big thank you to my guests in studio, my colleagues, Dan Brown. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Coming.
Thank you.
And of course, well, thank you for coming back, Karina. Okay. Emma Kasiga, thank you so much for joining us again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure. And of course, a big thank you to Jackson Mganyis, our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942 and leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. The topic next week will be absentee parents. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Modu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.